the younger players, from like the Pedris, the Definitely, the next generation of the Masala, the academy there, you know, the Masala.
Hello and welcome back to the Lap Masala podcast, episode 9. What are we on, lads?
27.
In total, I reckon it's 7 or 8, I think. But in terms of like normal eps, I think it's like our 5th one, I want to say.
All right, you're boring me now. Yeah, so I'm joined again by my two mates, Elliot and Cal. Hello, boys.
Hola.
Hi.
What are we drinking, lads? I'm back on the Bathams.
Fucking hell.
Elliot's on a Stella and Cal's got a really weird beer. So would you
come to a Beaver Town, mate? I've got fucking money. Money.
What is that?
Mate, they're fucking nice,
Oh, yeah.
Have a look at the graphics on that. How fucking funny.
That looks like fucking Ed and Eddie.
It does something like that, doesn't it?
I think we'll head straight into the reviews because what a weekend. What a weekend it was. We are so fucking good. I mean, Matias Pereira might be the best Brazilian to ever play in the Premier League. And Callum Robinson is definitely the best Irishman. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. I know they had 10 men, but we were playing well before they got a man sent off, but it was just ridiculous. I mean, how many times I've come in here and said, how many chances do we want? Then the weekend, we just score everything we get. It got a bit ridiculous. I think it's obviously still too little too late. We've got no chance of staying up. But what were your thoughts, lads?
Yeah, I didn't watch the actual... I didn't watch the game. Is it Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah. First game on Saturday, wasn't it?
I watched the highlights after, mate. Some of the goals you scored were actually unreal. I know, like you said, they had 10 men, but... Yeah, Pereira was on flames. I liked his second. What was his first goal? Where he dinged it over or the one?
The lob, and then the second was only chopped on it.
Yeah, the second one was unreal. He literally just passed the bottom corner. It was so decent.
Cal, are you scared to play his next year?
No, not at all, mate. Not worried one bit. But to be fair, after our weekend, mate, you should be scared of playing enough.
How did you get on the
weekend? Solanke, mate.
Oh, I've seen your tag. You always tag me in scores.
I know, I just gonna fuck it.
How many league goals?
The shit that you give him, isn't it? God, he's got. I don't know. He's got to be on
9,
14, or 15.
Daddy.
How many? Well, who's the league goal scorer? It's Pooky, like 42 goals or something.
Yeah. Nah, that Tony, that Ivan Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got like he's gonna break the championship record. He's ridiculous, mate. That kid.
I think
he's
scored
about
39 for Norwich on
their
way up again.
Oh, yeah. I am so thrilled. I heard on the radio today that Norwich are 5 points off securing all the make.
Yeah, they're
miles. Mate, they won 7-0. They won 7-0 last night. 7-0.
So what's the point? Like, what is the point? Really?
They played Felician.
Lorne got 5. I mean, after the high of Saturday, and then, do you know what the issue is, right? I mean, you lads don't know. I've been saying for so long, we are dead and buried no matter what. But after Saturday, I was like, we couldn't, could we? We couldn't.
And then
fucking Spurs go 2-1 up, and I'm like, is going to happen, lads? And then they throw it away, and I think that point's pretty vital for Newcastle, especially after Fulham. Fucking Shagger Parker, I don't know what he was saying. I think the lads just got too excited when they went 1-0 up about the brasses and what was going to go on afterwards up in Brum.
Yeah.
I just think, but what happened with Spurs, El? I mean, I didn't actually watch the game. I've seen the highlights, but...
I don't know, mate. We are literally just a car crash at the moment. We just can't hold on to Leeds. Like, Sanchez was an absolute car crash. I want to put that out there. The entire game, he was honestly shambolic. Like, he had one of them games. Like, you know when centre-half's like try and smash it up the pitch and clear it, and it goes like 2 foot off the ground and just hits someone in front of him. Like, he done that all game. He was just literally trying to leather it, and it would just like hit someone in front. That's literally how they scored. And you see Mourinho is literally just like on the top of that. But like, I mean, he picks him. That's the first time I've sort of been a bit annoyed at Mourinho for his team selection. But although the team, I thought, played well. Kane, obviously, is popping up with 2 goals. His first goal was pretty jammy, but I mean, his second goal was unreal. But I found it hilarious. Mourinho afterwards is just like classic Mourinho, really, isn't it?
I've seen
like,
what he said.
He was like, what was he like? I'm seeing things that I've never seen at this level before. And like, the players must literally just sit in the change room like, we are shit, man.
I've seen him say the coach is the same, but the players are not.
Yeah. But like, again, like, yeah. I see loads of people like, they're like, oh, Mourinho's throwing the players under the bus again, sort of thing. But what, like, no, exactly. But like, more often than not this season, in situations like those games where we've been leading and we've conceded late on, like we've not been able to hold on to leads, like, who else is to blame but the players? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what more can Mourinho do? But obviously then, like, you flip the coin and you say, well, you know, if the players aren't, you know, reacting to the management's motivation and stuff like this, then you've got to question the manager.
But it's like basic defending that's going out the window. And the thing is, it's not like...
Just game management, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it's not like he's this expansive manager and you're conceding goals because you go 2-0 up and keep trying to play. Yeah. The whole system is the foundations is defending. So if you're going 2-0 up, in most Mourinho teams of the past, that's game over.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just individual defensive errors, I think, and it's just, mate, on it. I didn't realise, one, Sanchez was Colombian, and two, I was playing this football trivia game the other day. He's like the most expensive Colombian ever in the Premier League, $42 million. I didn't realise you spent that much on him.
Neither did I, to be fair. I only thought it was like 25, but it must have.
Yeah,
like,
well, unless the book was wrong, but yeah, 42. No,
it must be like add-ons and stuff, and like it's risen since. But I mean, fucking hell! I know what I could spend 40 million on better than Sanchez, to be fair.
Yeah. Drugs and girls.
Yeah, and fucking
night out with Scotty P is what I want to spend 42 mil on.
I think, I mean, like, it was a good opportunity, obviously, to nip into fourth place. Like, I mean, we're not doing what West Ham are doing. Obviously, they're capitalising on...
Mate, you know what's funny? After the weekend, during the West Ham game, I looked at the table and I was like, fucking hell, if Spurs would have actually held on, they're only a point off top four. I didn't realise you were that close.
Yeah,
literally,
yeah.
Everyone, like, Albion did everyone a favour, so... Yeah. It's like, Liverpool have still got a chance. Top four is probably the most interesting part of the league at the minute.
Yeah, mate. West Ham were good, you know, as well.
Yeah, they were first half. Well, yeah, they were in general. Like, just letting Lingard's just on absolute flames.
Mate.
He has always been a good player, though. Like, do you remember when he had that spell at United? He was just unbelievable. But
yeah, he's like the 17-18 season, like leading up to the World Cup. And even in the World Cup, I thought he was mustard. Yeah. I rate how direct he is, like when he gets the ball. Like, I rate him so much.
He's a good player.
And he always wants it, doesn't he, as well? Mm. Like, regardless of what position he's in, especially now, I think, when he's at a club that probably he's not expected to do... Well, he's expected to do a lot more. So he's like, yeah, just give me the ball and I'll make it work.
Yeah. He's like a leader, really, actually. Like, just the way he plays. He is. Like, I know he might not be a shouter or a Roy Keane type, but he is a leader the way he plays. He's fucking flying. I think, little Champions League review. We're recording this while the two games go on. I think PSG have gone 1-0 up. I fancy them to go through against Bayern because I'm standing firm on that hill that Bayern are not that good. I still think City are going to win it after last night. I think that getting that final goal, that late goal, be enough for City. But, mate, we're going to talk about the refereeing decision for Jude Bellingham.
Terrible, really, isn't
it? Why not just let him kick it in and then blow your whistle and get to the fucking bit?
They're fouls that happen all the time in games.
Yeah.
When someone stretches their foot and they've got their studs like showing slightly, you know what I mean? Yeah. The refs will always, always give that.
And it's just... He only had to wait 2 seconds, that's it. And he probably proved right or in his head. But, mate, that in such a big game like that, that's going to change that game, I think. I just think City didn't really play that well from what I saw, and they still get it done. That's what good teams do. But Liverpool, Christ alive. Well, that was the game I watched. They were horrendous. But Toni Kroos was outrageous.
Mate, I love that man so much. He's still wearing those Adi Pures as well.
Yeah. Like, 9 seasons straight.
He makes footballers look so nice when he's wearing them.
So good to watch.
Although I did see someone in our DM say that Modric and Kroos are like second and third in the last 10, like in their generation of midfielders.
It always happens, recency bias. Someone has an amazing game and they're suddenly the best player ever. And I also saw the crew, who's better, Kroos, Modric, Casemiro, or the midfield three for Barca, and I lost my head. Couldn't help
that. Yeah, I see that.
I was literally pulling, you can see all the holes in my walls, man. I was fucking losing it. Like, don't get me wrong, they are unbelievable, but there's levels to this.
Yeah,
I had people in my DMs going that. But did Busquets, Iniesta, and Xavi win 3 Champions Leagues in a row? Oh, I've fished your mum. I think
one more cup, lad.
Yeah, yeah. They won fucking Euros back to back. I don't think they have, they?
Clever, do you, swearing and shouting at people? Can you think of something constructive to say? Because if you can, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, all right. Why don't you play 2 people up front instead of 1?
2, okay, anything else?
Yeah, you could switch Rob out on the left flank and the right, because he's a lot...
Yeah.
Tom, go back into the attacking midfield role, right? Danny drops back and he shows up defence.
Yeah!
It would be nice to see Messi make some of his jinking runs into the box like he does for his class.
Yeah.
Yeah. You some fair brother alongside each other up front, you've got an effective partnership of strength and speed.
Fuck off!
Yeah. I think we'll move on to the main area of the show, which is going to be following on from Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher's very entertaining argument, I must say. We're going to do our England squads and starting 11, what we would have at this current moment. Cut that. I think I just nearly threw up.
That'd have been amazing, just straight.
It's like, you know, you buy my drink and you'd be like,
oh, God, that video. Oh. I haven't seen that until you put you like quote to the other day.
Me and my pals live off that video so much.
You ain't seen it, Carl?
Nah.
Oh my, if I see this, I literally quote to you saying, imagine if this is your old man, this old bloke, but our dad's age, he's getting dared to down like 3 points. And he does the third, and as he's finishing it, he just starts like spewing, and he tries to get to the sink, and he's just spewing everywhere. It's so fucking funny.
Like, you his kids like, dad!
But it's just the way he's like, yeah, I'll down 3 easy. It's like the guy who fucking... We was going to do a Euro special, but we're going to wait until the end of the season to that, where we do like predict the groups, predict the whole, talk about the tournament and other teams. But just for today, we're just going to do England. So I think...
Should we do our goalkeepers, then defenders, then our midfield?
Yeah. We'll go position by position. So I think because it's 23-man squad, we've all done, if I'm not... Obviously 3 goalies, which I just want to quickly talk about because I did a TikTok about this the other day. I didn't realise it's a rule. You have to have 3 goalies.
Yeah, I never knew that.
It's bollocks. Why is that a rule? What, ridiculous. Like, it just takes away an important position. No, you rarely ever use 2 goalies, let alone fucking 3. I think the rule should be you have to take 2, but if both get injured, you're allowed an emergency loan or an emergency backup, sorry.
Imagine that. You get built up, you're like sitting at home as a goalie, you're just absolutely tossing.
You can loan him from someone else's nation as well. So like, Michael's got a bit too old and he's not getting called up by Denmark, and you're like, Casper, get on the plane, lad. Come in.
It's fucking Vinny Tasker. What they should do is you can only loan from like the bottom 25 nations.
That would be unreal. Like,
someone who's fucking just a plumber. What's that? Southgate. Okay. okay, so we'll start with goalies. My 3 are Sam Johnston, Dean Henderson and Jordan Pickford. And I'm starting. This is our teams, by the way, lads. It's not who we think's going to play. And I'm starting Sam Johnston. I'm not having Nick Pope, lads. I'm just not having him. After that, he's so bad with his feet. How are we going to play out from the back with him in goal? I just like, I don't get it. And yeah, he's a good shot stopper, but I don't know. We've only seen him be a good shot stopper in a shit team where he doesn't go long periods without having to make a save. So I don't know. So, El.
I've gone for my three. I've gone Pope, Johnston and Dean Henderson. I've been Pope to start for a long time. I think when you look at the three, I think Dean Henderson is solid with his hands and solid with his feet. I think Sam Johnston's the best out of the three with his feet, I'd probably say.
Yeah.
And I do think Pope is legend goal. Like, I really do. He is stinky with his feet.
Mm.
And that's why I would always start him, because I think he's so solid in goal and he's huge and I think he's just a massive presence. But
yeah, he's really good at commanding, actually, which the other two aren't.
But like you say, we are going to try and play out from the back, and I do think it is a bit of like a, you know, you're like on the edge of your seat when the ball's going.
Yeah.
I'm going to start Henderson just for the reason I think he's just all round solid sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
No, I can understand that, to be fair, El, but I'm going to start, mine are Pickford, Henderson and Sam Johnston, but I'm going to start Pickford. Just because I think with this England side is very different, as in you've got a left side who, well, usually on the last tournament, they didn't play out from the back at all. So you literally were just hitting channels all the time. Whereas now you've got a left-footed sided player on the left side, and you actually got a keeper that can kick properly. So being able to play out from the back now is actually, you're able to do it. So I think Pickford by far is the best with his feet. And he's always performed for England. So
yeah,
that is a good point actually, Cal. Like, everyone loves to slag Pickford, but you can't deny how good he was at the last World Cup. And so if you literally can't, and I think Southgate likes that. Players like Trippier, Pickford, I can't think of any off the top of my head. People who perform for England, look at Sancho, not really playing recently. Like, how good he's doing for Dortmund, but he's never done it for England, really, Sancho.
No.
So it's, and we've moaned for years about how our managers never pick players based on their form for England or their current form, or they only got picked because of their name and this and that. And to be fair to Southgate, he's actually kind of gone with people who performed for him. Like, yeah, I'm out. Yeah, Mount's a good shout. Have we all gone four at the back? Or has anyone gone five?
I've gone four, but the only thing that always plays in my head with this England team anyway is that against the smaller nations or the teams that they should be playing against properly and actually, like, really going for it, you're going to play four. Whereas when you come up against the Frances or the Portugals, do you then change to a five?
See, I'm not a fan of changing formations and systems during a tournament. Like, I don't think we're good enough to do that. We're not some, I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about that, but just from playing, like, would you like it going into a quarterfinal playing one system and then you win next game, it's a different system? I don't know. I understand setting up differently and maybe playing a bit differently or different personnel for different teams. But I don't know. It's a big change, I think.
Yeah, I could understand, like, the same with personnel, maybe the same with formation. Like, after the first game, that sort of being the decider is, right, are we going to stick with this formation for the tournament, or second group game, are we going to change it? Because I do think, I think the five worked well in the World Cup. But
yeah, it did.
Like I've said for ages, I think we've got such good players going forward that it would be a bit stupid to not play a four, you know?
Yeah, that's the other thing as well. As soon as you have the five, you're adding players in an area where we're not strong, and you're taking away players from an area where we are. So it's like, it doesn't really make sense. I think, so right back, my two right backs I've got down are James and Walker. And to be honest, I'd flip a coin. I'm not sitting on the fence, but I'd flip a coin between them. I think they're, if I had to, I'd maybe edge it Walker just because of his experience. And I know he's not brilliant defensively, but his pace gets him out of trouble. And we are going to come up against fast wingers, and I think
yeah.
he could be. He's just solid, Walker. You don't play in that City side if you're no good. I just think, yeah. So I look, Trent. It's a tough one. I don't think he's shit defensively, like a lot make out, but you saw it last night. And Gary Neville was spot on about him. Yeah, he has done well at times against certain teams and players, but on the whole, he can be got at defensively and teams will go for him. Every time Cruz was getting the ball last night, he wasn't even lifting his head. He's just trying to hit that channel in between the centre-half and right-back. He was doing it all game. The first goal come from it. It was an unbelievable pass. I'm not blaming Trent for that. But Vinicius skinned him a few times. The header back,
yeah,
I don't know what he was trying to do. I honestly don't know what he was trying to do. I saw a really good video of Carragher. I saw a good video of Carragher on about it. I don't know if you saw that today. About how Trent always rushes out and defends, like standing straight up. He's never bent leg,
yeah,
like ready to pounce off. And that's why he's too easily beat. And he showed a video from last night where he does do that.
Was it that clip where Mendy, the left back, gets the ball and he rushes out and he literally just nips inside him and like rolls it across the box and they nearly scored?
Yes. And I just don't think he's got a natural instinct to defend, personally. He's an unbelievable footballer, like technically different gear. But yeah, I'd trust the other two at right back, personally. That's all I'd say on that.
Although I've got a four at the back, I am taking a third right back over a fourth centre half, so that you can transition to a five at the back.
Right.
I've got James, Walker, and Wan-Bissaka as my three right backs.
Right.
And in a four, I mean, you're probably both not going to agree with me, but I would start Wan-Bissaka. And I know he, on the ball, isn't the best and he's not the best out of them three. I just think he's so good defensively that it's hard almost not to play him.
He is good. He's good defensively. He's amazing on one-on-one. I don't think I've ever seen anyone dribble past him, but his positioning isn't brilliant, you know. United get caught out a lot on that back post when, like...
I understand what you're saying, but I just feel like I've never seen him, like, even in those positions, he's always, like, got a slide tackle in or something like that.
He's always
covered the ground and made up that poor positioning, perhaps, you know.
Yeah.
And I know he gets slated for his, like, on the ball and stuff, but it's like the way United play, he's never tearing up the right like you see like Cancelo or Walker does and whipping balls in because we've got good enough attacking players to do that. And personally, the way I would play with my starting 11 in this England side is Wan-Bissaka is more than comfortable on the ball in a four at the back in his own half. You know, you see him keep the ball well for United.
Yeah.
But obviously we'll go on to our other players in the team, but I would just have him just being solid, like, never really going too far forward unless the opportunity is there. But almost when we're attacking, being like a three at the back with the other two centre-halves and letting the left back come on. But I just literally think if we're playing against the likes of Hazard, Sané, Mbappe, I'd love to see Wan-Bissaka up against them 1v1.
I know what you mean, yeah.
When it comes to crunch, I think, like, he's played against Mbappe in the Champions League already this season and he was unbelievable. So, that gives me hope, sort of thing. But I mean, like you said, we're flipping a coin. James is just a solid Walker. They're all good players, but I just think Wan-Bissaka trumps them defensively, personally.
I wouldn't be against that at all, to be honest. Cal?
No, I can understand what you're saying as well, El, but I'm going to change it up and I've gone the same. I've gone three right backs, so you can transfer into a five as well. So I've gone Trent Alexander-Arnold, Walker and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. But I'm going to start Trent. And I'm going to go back, and I know that we're going to talk about last night, maybe that header and stuff, but to be honest, defenders make mistakes. And when defenders make mistakes, it leads to goals. That's just the way it happens as being a defender. And he is down. He's down bad at the moment, bless him. But,
well, you say that, Cal, but I think like the last week just sums him up. Like, he was unbelievable against Arsenal. I've seen loads of Arsenal fans crying about, oh, Jota, like, how can Jota, that small, score a goal? The cross...
It was unreal.
Perfect. Like, you can't defend that. I don't care who's... It could have been Van Dijk and Diaz at the back. They're not defending that. It's literally dropped on his head. The defenders can't do anything about that. If he's dropping a ball perfectly in between the two, do you want them to just stand together?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that does sum him up. Like, it's weighing him up, isn't it? Like,
it's a weird one, but I'm going to go back and, like, say about the last World Cup is that Trippier was one of the main key components of England being so successful. Like, those balls he whips in and England so successful from them. And I think that this World Cup, this Euro, will be interesting because you've got Trent whipping balls in and you've also got, like, a real strong contingent of, like, players who can play well in the air, like Maguire, Stones, Rice, Kane.
Yeah.
All of those players are very good in the air as well. And I think if you've got a player of Trent's caliber being able to go forward and whip balls into those types of players, it could be very successful. And yeah, there are question marks about him defensively, but I think he is the best player out of all of those right backs on the ball. And I think if you're going to give him time to progress in his career, it's got to be now or never kind of thing.
I mean, it's like, I haven't got him in my...
Like, I'd never go back and say anyone else's decision's wrong because I everyone's made good points. So it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, if we're blessed in one position as right back, we've probably got like four or five.
It's probably the hardest area, I think.
You haven't even been mentioned as well. That's fucked. That's the thing.
I know, to be fair.
Lego man up the right-hand side.
You don't mean that, do you?
No, I don't mean that. You know, I love you.
With Trent, like, sorry, just to touch on it quickly.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
Like, Gary Neville did make some good points the other night, and I do understand also Carragher's side of it as well, because he has played in some mega games for Liverpool in the Champions League, and he's performed unbelievably. So we all know
Neville was right, what he said back to that about possession. We ain't going to have as much possession and dominating like Liverpool do.
Well, and also he's not going to have Van Dijk next to him, is he? So
yeah, exactly.
So it's a tough one. Like, as amazing as he is on the ball, and I do think he's amazing, I think in tournament football is so intense, isn't it? So, like, you need people that are going to be, like, on job, like, all the time. You know what I mean? And I just think he...
Like, double busy.
Yeah, like, I just think he's a bit, like, careless sometimes in his defending, and, like, that will cost you in a tournament. But, like, as I say, like, if he was in the squad and he started, I wouldn't complain, but it's just obviously our preference.
Like Neville said, I think... Tournaments tend to come down to single moments, and there's two arguments for Trent in that situation. Defensively, he probably could let you down in one moment, but
attacking wise,
he's the one who, in a split moment, puts a perfect ball in that maybe wins your game. So it's honestly, right back is such a hard one, and I wouldn't be annoyed if Trent, Wan-Bissaka, Walker, or James started at all. I'd be okay with any of them playing, depending on what Southgate's going to go for. I personally think he's going to be more pragmatic and want that defensive stability. So we'll move on.
I don't think Trent's going. If he's not in the last squad, he won't go.
I think he likes Trippier as well, Southgate.
He does. I think he'll be in the squad.
I'd be annoyed if he went over Wan-Bissaka, over Trent, like you said, Cal. Like, I think you're sort of looking at both them players. Trent's obviously the better player, so, and they're quite similar. So
We'll move on to left backs. I think I've got two. I think we're all going to start Shaw, but my backup, I'd rather have Creswell than Chilwell personally. I just think Chilwell is all right. Mm-hmm. I think Creswell's probably sounder defensively, and he's solid going forward. He's probably not going to play. Hopefully, not going to be needed a backup left back. So I'm having Luke Shaw. I was close to putting Saka in just for the fact if we did play five, I'd like him as a backup wing back, and then he could also play on the wing. But if we're only taking two left backs and we are going to play a four, I don't know if I'd like him in a four.
No, I don't think so.
He's played in a four, has he? Or I think he
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not sure. So that's why I left him out.
Yeah, I've gone Shaw to start, and then I've gone Chilwell as backup. Purely because I think he's played a lot for England recently, and I think he's obviously, like, come by that level. He's obviously a solid player for Chelsea as well. nothing special, but I think he's just a solid backup for sure.
Yeah.
Shaw's got to start, obviously. But like I said, with Trippier, I think Southgate likes Chilwell.
He does, doesn't he?
He started against Poland the other night, didn't he? So, but yeah, for me, it's Shaw to start.
Cal. Yeah, I'm going to follow L on that as well. Shaw to start, Chilwell to bench. I think they're both technical players. They can both fit into a four and a five. So I don't see... but yeah, Cresswell's a good enough shout, but I think Chilwell's a bit better.
Yeah, I won't argue with any of that. There's not really much to talk about left backs. Right, centre halves. Now, again, this is my team, so I've chosen players I want to see in the squad. I don't think two of them will be in the squad, but who cares? I think we all kind of agree. I think we'll all be starting Maguire Stones. I mean,
if you've said Lewis Dunk, Cal's gonna walk off.
I'm not gonna lie, I nearly wrote him down, but then I thought of someone else, and I've actually the lad. I'll go into that in a minute, but I think Maguire Stones. I think everyone's kind of accepted that's going to be the starting centre back partnership. So I am just a tiny bit worried in the back of my head that I'm not sure if this improvement of Stones is just the fact he's got Diaz next to him, and it worries me. I don't know. I can still see him doing something. Like we say about Trent in a split moment defensively, I'm not sure I really trust him, but we ain't got really anyone else. And then obviously Maguire, especially set pieces. But that was probably our main source of goals last in the World Cup, wasn't it? Set pieces.
Yeah.
Not ridiculous. But I've gone backups, Tarkowski and Konsa.
Yeah.
Do you know Tarkowski. What? I'm speaking to... Yeah, mate. Do you know why, Carl? I'm, to be honest, I'm being a bit... I don't know. I was speaking to the lad I was telling you about the other day who's played with lads who used to play with Tarkowski at Brentford, and they reckon he's like unbelievable on the ball. He's just not getting a chance to show it. He played in that Brentford side, didn't he?
Yeah.
And like, you don't play in that Brentford side if you've got under Dean Smith if you can't play. And like, he was telling me, lads who've played with him, telling he's literally like mustard. Like, we can see how well he actually defends, but even on the ball, apparently he's really good. But like, West Ham tried to sign him for like mad money, didn't they, in the summer?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I just want to see
Craig Dawson, and he's been unreal since then.
Yeah. But I think, and then Konsa, I'm just a bit of a Konsa fanboy. I just really, really like him. But the other names being thrown about, they're just a much of a muchness for me, the centre half. It's just, why not take a young lad who give him, he's probably not going to play, give him some tournament experience. I don't know.
No, I agree.
L.
I've gone three centre-halves, obviously, because I'm taking Walker to play as a right centre-half.
You can transfer, yeah.
I was a three. I've gone Maguire, Stones and Konsa as well, actually. I've gone them three purely because, like you said, about Maguire and Stones are the two best we've got, really. And I do rate them together. I do like Maguire. I really don't want him to play left side because he literally never uses his left foot. And it's a fucking waste. Stones has got a much better left foot. I don't know why he doesn't play on the left. And then, it was a toss-up between Mings and Konsa. And you know what settled it? I watched the Fulham Villa game
the other day, mate.
And Mings had that cock-up. But, like, to me, the Konsa is just so much more composed, like, in the way... In the way he defends and on the ball as well. Like, the commentators were saying it, like, he's literally nothing special, Konsa. Like, he's just solid defensively, and on the ball, he'll play it simple, nothing fancy. Yeah. Like, he's good on the ball, he's comfortable. I think he's solid. And like you say, like, what better chance are you going to give a player when realistically no one else has performed better than them this season? Like,
yeah,
got the likes of Mings, Michael Keane, fucking Eric Dyer, like, You're gonna choose these three who haven't been performing better, but have just been in squads previously. Like,
well, you could argue Godfrey's been better for.
He was up there for me. But
I think I wouldn't be against him going for experience and stuff.
But Cal, they're my three. Yeah,
I've done the same three as L. Maguire, Stones, Konsa. The only toss up I was having was
Lewis Dunk.
Absolutely not. I was having Mings possibly for Konsa just because of the left-sided centre-back.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well, yeah.
But I think I prefer Konsa. And like you said, Tom, I'd like that point about you've got to give kids experience at major tournaments, whether or not they play. But to be honest, as a third/fourth centre-back, he probably will get game time.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go. I'd go Konsa as well, I think.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a long shot as well, but you've obviously got players. I was thinking of centre halves that have been in previous squads like the last year or so, and you got Maguire, you got Stones, you got Keane, obviously Cody, Mings, Dyer. Tomori's been in there as well, and he's one that's actually been playing really well for Milan. Like they love him over there, and they want to sign him permanently. And I mean, the Italian league, Serie A, is obviously predominantly they focus a lot on defending. So he's actually performing really well. But again, I don't think he'd get a sniff really, and I don't think he probably deserves to, given like I said how well Konsa's played. But yeah, all those other names like Cody, Dyer, Keane, they've been in previous squads, but like, I don't think that should really be like.
I've got a feeling he's going to take Cody, and anyone putting Cody in your England squad, drink bleach immediately. More source help. Just do summer, because if we're going to play a back four and pick a centre half that can't defend, that just doesn't make sense to me. I just think that's absolute. Like, Antonio bullied him again the other night. Like, he's so easily got at Cody. I don't care how pretty he passes the ball. He's shit. All right. Midfielders. You know what? I did struggle a bit with this. And so I've got six altogether. I've gone for a midfield three. So my starting midfield three, it's depending on if Henderson's fit.
Yeah, it's injuries, isn't it? It's killing
it. I'm not sure if Henderson and Rice, actually. So my midfield three, and I'll explain why it's this, is I want Rice holding, Mason Mount and Henderson either side, because I think people have got this myth about Henderson of him being a holding midfielder when he's not. Fabinho is the holding midfielder for Liverpool and Henderson's the legs. He does defend well and he does cover, but he's up and down. Henderson is the legs and the engine of that side. And then Mount can have a bit more of a free role. I was between Mount and Foden in that position, but Foden is one of my backup midfielders, but I just think he's a bit better off the wing, Foden. Like, I don't know, we haven't really seen him in that midfield role for City. He's been higher up. My other backups are Phillips for the defensive role and then Bellingham for Mount. I really like Bellingham. But just quickly, I'd like to make a public apology and backtrack on some words I had the other week. I've changed my mind on James Ward-Prowse. I know he was only against Burnley the other day, and since I've said that, I've kind of focused on him a bit more. He's a good player. He just is. he just is. I don't know what. I think I was just trying to be too out there, a bit of a controversial one. He just is a good player. So I've got a splash between Henderson and Ward-Prowse, because if Henderson's not available, I think Ward-Prowse is a good substitute for him, because he's got legs. The set pieces speak for themselves. I think. Yeah. He's just a good player. I think he'd be. So that's my six: Mount, Bellingham, Henderson, or Ward-Prowse, Foden, Rice, and Phillips. Out.
I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as well. And I've sort of done it as I've got three that are in the rotation to sit and could potentially do defensive side, and also just sort of comfortable both sides of the ball. Then I've got three that are obviously considered more attacking. I've got Rice, Henderson, Phillips, Mount, Foden, Lingard. And I would have a three in midfield, obviously one sitting, two in front. And I've got Rice/Henderson sitting. And then I've got Mount and Foden in front of them. But it was hard because I think Rice, Henderson, Mount, Foden, any four of them, I wouldn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's Rice and Henderson and one of Mount or Foden, or if it's Rice or Henderson and Mount and Foden, or any rotation. Because like you said, I think Rice and Henderson, whether one of them sits or is the legs, I think they can both do it. I think what you said about Henderson is similar to Rice as well. He's actually a lot more dynamic than people sort of
Rice is. And that's defensively.
Yeah, that's what I sort of overlooked a bit.
But even passes forward, I think this season he's well up there with defensive midfielders, passes forward. He's a proper baller.
But even on the ball as well, driving forward, he done something incredible against Arsenal the other week. He took on about three or four people, and
which is why I like Henderson and him together. Because look, just quickly, just to clarify what I was saying, Henderson can play as a holding mid, and he has done, especially for England. But I think he's at his best in that Liverpool side with a main holding mid, and he can do both. So, like you say, because Fabinho does it on odd occasions, goes forward. If Rice does do that, Henderson's going to tuck in. I think those two will work really well together.
Yeah, it's almost like a perfect little double pivot. Yeah,
I hate Rice and Phillips together. I hate it. Like, the one game we always go back to is that Denmark game. And all they kept doing was running in each other's holes and pockets. That's all they were doing all game, just running into each other. We might as well have played with 10.
Yeah, I think Phillips is literally the conventional holder. Like, he doesn't really drive forward. He's like a distributor, just like shuffling side to side. He's got a great passing range. He can do the defensive side of the ball. So that's why I've got him in there as well. And then Lingard, I don't know. I think he's just going to keep this up all the way to the end of the season.
Probably between him and Bellingham.
Yeah, you know Bellingham as well. I think Bellingham, I mean, what has he played?
He was good, you know, last night.
He was really good. 30-odd games for Birmingham, and now he's obviously played this season for Dortmund. I think he's a bit too young to go straight into the squad. I'm not saying that age is a big factor, but I think given Lingard's experience in a World Cup and, you know, his experience in the Prem, given his age as well and the games he's played in and how well he is playing currently, I would take Lingard. And then, Mount is an absolute engine.
Yeah.
He can do both sides of the ball as well. Work hard, and he's good going forward. And then Foden can even be used on the wing, like rotation. I think you've got a lot of good players in the midfield area. So,
So who is your starting three? Yeah, I think I missed it. Just if you had to pick three right now.
If I've got Rice / Henderson sitting, then I've got Mount.
No. I want three. Who you'd start as of today? Let's pretend they're all fit.
Okay, I'm going same as you. I'm going Rice sitting, Henderson, and Mount in front.
Yeah, I think that, yeah. Cal?
Right, I've gone, my six are Rice, Henderson, Mount, Bellingham, Foden, and Lingard.
Yeah, be against that at all.
And I think my starting three would be, I can't lie, I think it would be, just because probably Henderson's not going to be back, if we're going off what's been said, I'm going to go Rice, Mount and Foden. I think Foden's got a start, but I do worry about him being left or right just because of the players that are there and the experience that they have already. So I'm just going to put him 10, and I think he can dictate games if given the ball.
That's my worry about, like, there's no denying he's probably arguably the most talented midfielder in the world at his age. Of the young players, but I can see us needing to do a lot of defending, and we're not going to have loads of the ball against certain teams.
That's the only thing. I worry about the age with that three as well.
I'm not sure.
I'd like Henderson to be back. If Henderson was starting, I'd have Rice, Henderson, and Mount. And I think that would be perfect.
I didn't really think about that because there are that. Everyone we've named, or my six that I've named, I mean, what's Lingard? Is he 28, 27?
Yeah, about that. Henderson's the only leader, really, in the squad.
Yeah. I mean, Rice is obviously skipper for West Ham, but it's different. It's a different, it's a different ball game in a tournament for England, isn't it? And if you've got Rice, Mount and Foden, they are three youngsters. But obviously, Rice and Mount are they're like best friends, aren't they? Like, they'll just big each other up and help each other out and stuff in the game.
Right, we'll get Joe and fucking Ben speaking to Rice on Xbox on fucking PlayStation, the little virgin. Okay, so we'll move on to front three. Now, obviously, Kane's obviously playing. My backup striker, I've gone for Calvert-Lewin. My right side, I'll just do my starting three. I've gone Sterling to the right, Kane in the middle, Grealish to the left. Me personally, if I'm England manager, Grealish is the first player on my team sheet. If we're going to beat teams, we're going to need moments of magic. We're going to need... He is what people talk about Gascoigne, like back in the... Like, he would be like leaving Gascoigne now. He's our, like, I don't know, difference maker. And I just want to show you something about Jack Grealish. So, just based on simply goals and assists...
Grealish speech.
No, it's not a speech, but...
On Tuesday, basically, the 26th of June, this man said this about Grealish.
All right, I saw a really good video on Grealish the other day. and you know me, I'm not massive on my stats and that, but when people don't listen to me and I tell them how good a player is, I can only resort to stats to back it up. So goals and assists, he's seventh, joint seventh in the Premier League with 16 altogether, and he's missed loads of games. He is, hang on, I'm waiting for the video to go. Hang on. Right. No. It's worth it. Okay. Expected assists in the league, he's second. Right. Key passes in the league, he's first. Passes into the penalty box, he's second. Progressive passes, he's fourth. Shot creating actions, he's first. Bear with me. Goal creating actions, he's first. Dribbles, completely dribbles, fourth. Progressive distance, second, which is the total distance a player moves the ball while controlling it with their feet towards the opponent's goal, for just people, all right. Progressive carries is first in the league. Carries into the final third is first. Carries into the penalty box is first.
Fuck me, this is boring.
No. Fouls won, he's first.
Yeah, he does.
Hang on. And now let's compare that to the whole of Europe. Expected assists in the whole of Europe, second.
Nice.
Key passes, first. Bearing in mind Messi plays in Europe.
And the GOAT, Ronaldo.
Passes into the penalty box, second. Shot creating actions, first. This is in Europe, lads. You know, Europe, the continent. Progressive distance, third. Obviously, Messi's going to be top of that. Progressive carries, first. Carries into the final third, fourth. Hold on, lads. Carries into the penalty box, first.
Fucking hell.
Fouls drawn, first.
If he don't win the Ballon d'Or this year, what is going on?
He has to play for England. He's so fucking good, lads. I'm not having anyone not starting. Then my backups are Sancho on the right, Rashford to the left, and Calvert-Lewin down the middle. Elliot, try and beat that.
You've got exactly the same, mate.
Mate, drop.
I've got exactly the same as you, mate. Sterling, Kane, Grealish. Calvert-Lewin, I was tossing up him and Ings, but I think if Kane's not playing and you're sacrificing how good Kane is at dropping off and getting on the ball as well as scoring, I think you kind of need a bit of a plan B. And I think, you know, whipping balls in the box for Calvert-Lewin to head in or just get in the box and cause trouble and notch some goals, I think he's probably the best alternative. I rate Ings so much, and I think I rate him more than Calvert-Lewin. But I think in order to suit this England team, I don't think you need two of the same players in a sense. And I think Ings is probably better like on the ball, coming short and getting on it than Calvert-Lewin is. And then obviously got Rashford to the left. I was thinking, I do rate Rashford, and I think he's a very, very good player. But like you say about Grealish, man, I think the way he has.
Have you gone Grealish on the left or Grealish on the right?
No, Grealish on the left, Sterling on the right, Kane up top.
Oh, okay.
Grealish is like, he's just a joke, isn't he? Like,
you know how good he is. These are his stats.
I see people really go into town on how they think Grealish is like actually like really overrated. Like,
oh no, I can't have it.
They're like, oh, like, I don't understand how you can have probably almost every pundit that is on telly at the moment saying Grealish has to start, and given that they're ex-pros and they've played at like an unbelievable level and they watch football every week,
and they'll know a lot of the current players who've played against and with him.
I don't get how that can be like misconstrued as like, oh, I don't know, like, why would they big someone up that much? You know what I mean? And people, I've seen people on Twitter be like, how there's no way he can start over Rashford and stuff, and then they're like, oh, like sort of like gunning for Grealish and stuff. I just think he is out of our team. There's no one else in this team that does a job for their club team like Grealish does. maybe Harry Kane to
Kane.
Spurs, but it's a totally different ball game compared to Grealish. Grealish literally carries, and by that he literally gets on the ball and carries his team forward and creates everything for his team.
Literally, because he carries into the box, he's first.
And like, I think it's a case of like, because he doesn't do loads of fancy tricks or like. Like something like he's not
the best
like
players though. I mean,
they're the best type of players. He reminds me of like Ginola or someone like that.
Because he's not like Neymar doing loads of Rabonas and flip flaps and stuff like that. He literally will just drop a shoulder and go. And like, you know, I think,
I don't know who he's like, right? And I pissed myself when he said it months ago. And I honestly might have to eat my words. Gabriel Bonlord said ages ago, he reminds him of Iniesta. And he actually does, the way he beats players. That's how Iniesta beats players, though. Like, he's not fancy. He just drops a shoulder and goes. Like, he's not really that fast. Obviously, I'm not comparing him ability-wise to fucking the...
Iniesta's better than Grealish. Grealish is better than Iniesta.
You'll never guess what T. Garrett 10 said about Grealish.
I'm not, like... The way I sum him up, right, Grealish, when he picks the ball up, one of three things happens. He beats a player, he makes something happen, or he gets fouled.
Yeah.
He rarely gives the ball away, you know, because he either gets fouled or he just passes to someone. Like, he's fucking different level, lads. He has to play, Garen.
And the way I was saying, like I said earlier, I'd lead on to it in my starting 11, because I'd have him on the left, and because I think Shaw is so good going forward. Grealish is always going to naturally come in on his right.
And give Shaw
give Shaw that space to go up and down. Grealish comes inside and it creates more creativity in the middle for our players.
You've got two of the most informed players in Europe on that left-hand side. Yeah. I don't care if he's been injured, he has to go. Get him on the plane. So that sums up.
Hello.
Cal ain't said it.
Oh, sorry, Cal. I forget.
Fucking hell.
I just want to say an honourable mention.
I
just want to say an honourable mention to Andy Carroll, all right? And that is because every tournament since he joined the Prem, I've said he should go for a plan B. He's the best plan B in England. And he's the best plan B in the world, all right?
Is Dean Ashton a joke to you?
He's retired. If he was still playing, like even if he was playing like Ryman League, I'd still have him over.
Dean Ashton should be starting in his prime. Fucking son boy.
Remember Carroll's header against Sweden when Gerrard whipped that ball in?
Yeah, he lived off that for about 6 years.
Yeah, I know, but when that happened, I was like, he's got to go. Get him on that fucking plane.
He's got to go.
Go on then, Cal.
Right, I've gone
Callum Robinson.
Callum Wilson through the middle. I said to him the other day, I saw him out and I said, mate, you've got to get on the plane. I've gone Kane, obviously, through the middle. Left, I've gone Grealish. And right, I've gone Sterling. And I probably have changed my mind. I was going to go Ings as well, just because I do think he's so much more deadly and like he offers a lot more.
He is class. Do you want me to tell the truth? I forgot about Ings when I did my squad.
Did you?
Yeah, I think if you put a gun to my head, I'd take him for my backup over Calvert-Lewin.
I probably am sick of like that whole, oh, we need a plan B. Like, is that where England have always gone wrong, do you think? Like, because there's always been this, like, oh, if this goes wrong, let's rely on plan B. Whereas it's not like, let's just play our way out and then we'll make our way because we've got the best players on the pitch.
I understand Calvert-Lewin is... I'm changing my mind again because we do... put so many balls in, like it's either crosses or set pieces. So,
yeah, like the way I look at it, I don't necessarily think he's not like, you know, it's not.
Ings
like,
is good in the air though.
Yeah, it's not
a presence like Calvert-Lewin though.
It's not like we're taking.
He's like sneaky in that.
He's not like we're taking Kane and then I don't know Nikola Zigic. Like they're not two opposites. You know, they're not two opposites. Like Calvert-Lewin is a good player, but. Mate, he can jump high, bro. That guy.
He's like LeBron, bro.
Yeah, like that's what I mean. I think it's just different. I mean, Kane's good in the air as well, but it's just like a slight tweak, isn't it? Because if he's on the pitch, you can go, oh, we can afford to put even more balls in the box. Because
he's also really good running in behind and running down defenders. And he's got serious burnies, bro.
Yeah, he's got burnies, bro. But I've gone, and then Rashford and Sancho either side. I think these names kind of pick themselves a little bit. Rashford, I don't know. I'd love to start him because I think, what a boy. But I just think Grealish is next level.
I think I totally agree with what you're saying. I think Rashford is probably one of England's top five players. So you'd assume he'd probably be in the starting 11. But I think him and Sterling sort of are relatively similar in how direct they are at sort of taking the ball sort of to the line and sort of relying on their pace. Whereas I quite like the balance of having Sterling and then someone as tricky and a bit more creative and in Grealish on that left side, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, mate, like I said, if Grealish doesn't start, I would be disappointed because I do rate him very
highly. Obviously, I mean.
But Rashford is obviously, he's not a bad backup.
Look at like...
unbelievable player.
Can Rashford not play on the right? Can he not?
I think he can play both sides. I think he's been good coming in off the right for United, but he does love that cut in and whip on his right.
I know what you mean.
I think Sterling's one that I've seen people being like, he hasn't even had a good season and stuff, but I think he's one of them that irregardless of form, he calls.
He's got to play. Yeah. He's got to play.
Rashford's
very ineffective on the right, I think. And Sterling has definitely got to start. If he starts in Pep's teams, he's starting for whatever team. Besides, I don't care what you say.
He's one of the first names on the sheet for City. Like, he's one of the ones who rarely gets rotated, Sterling. Like, I don't know what people have got against him, for fuck's sake. I know that goal didn't go in against Italy years ago, but get over it.
Mate, I fucking went mental in that.
Yeah, me and all my pals.
So good.
Physical. I thought you were an Irish fan.
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
But it's fucking in a pub, isn't it? Everyone's loving it. Oh. I've had a couple of beaver sounds. I'm going mental.
Right, so that's our England squads and starting 11. I mean, we're all pretty similar.
Half time in La Bombonera Stadium and England trail Mexico by 2-0.
Have you heard what the crowd is shouting? Should be shouting at you, and you know why? Because it's f***ing half-time, and we're f***ing 2-0 down to the f***ing Mexicans! F***ing wrong with it! Get your f***ing fingers out! Where's your bottle f***ing gone? I can't f***ing pay attention when I'm f***ing talking to you! If you don't want to wear the shirt, f***ing off! There's f***ing thousands of kids out there who f***ing die and put their f***ing shirt on! F***ing back on the field, show me what you can f***ing do, or f***ing off home on the plane. We got that!
England lose 4-0.
What are the sort of best players that we've missed out? You think of like Madison.
Madison, yeah.
I like Madison, mate.
Madison. I can only think of what Madison, Barnes. I'm sort of thinking players going forward.
Livermore.
Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, Ward-Prowse.
Most of us.
One, yeah.
Saka.
Yeah, Saka.
Greenwood.
Greenwood's a big one because Gene had him in, didn't he? But obviously, Wood, he sucked him off. Is that an hour?
No, I've got to take my pill.
What pill? Is that actually an hour or not?
No, I'm a burn.
should we go on to the questions from the from everyone asking?
Yeah. Some lad said, how many birds have we all shagged?
Oh, you can go first because yours is really quick.
Mine's 3.5.
The half was Fred.
Fred, if you're out there.
If you're out, mate. Yeah, to be fair, Fred could be dead for all we know. We never hear from him. He just randomly puts videos in the group chat.
Sam asked, what's a bigger loss to England? Maguire getting injured and can't go to the Euros, or Kane getting injured and can't go to the Euros?
Yeah,
next question.
They said this on Sky Sports, didn't they, Gino?
Did they?
Yeah.
What did those guys say?
Gary Neville was saying Maguire, and Carragher was obviously just disagreeing because he's a knobhead. But
you're talking the best number nine in the world.
Yeah, right? I know. It's obviously Kane, but I do understand what Gary Neville was saying because he was sort of saying, obviously, we're not blessed in the centre half department, and we've got someone that's, you know, someone like Maguire who is him and Stones are our best two centre half. So when you lose him, it's sort of a bigger downgrade. Whereas with Kane, it is going to be a big downgrade if he's not playing, but I can see us still scoring.
I'm sorry, but losing the best striker in the world is a bigger loss than losing a decent centre half. I don't care.
But it is Kane. It is obviously going to be Kane.
I think. I was going to say something then. I forgot. Oh, that was it. Did you see that tweet about Dave Jones says, "So Gary, heads or tails?" Heads, and Gary goes, "Picking heads over tails."
He was getting fuming the other night, wasn't he, about the trend thing?
I know, man.
It was funny, like, for like, seriously, he's like, "Would you pick him in your squad?" He's like, "Oh, yeah. I'm answering this question first." He's like, "Relax." He's like, "I'm getting hot here."
Yeah. It's like Boris Johnson. God,
Another one was, out of the two, if Greenwood and Saka, there's one spot left. Injuries came, injuries happen. Who you having?
I'll go on.
I'm going Saka.
I'm going Saka as well.
Because I think he's had a better season for one than Greenwood. And I think he's a more influential and impactful player than Greenwood. I do rate Greenwood, but I don't know. I think he was better last season than he has been this year.
And he's more versatile, Saka. What about you, Cal?
Yeah, I think Saka, just because he is more versatile, and it depends. Tournament play, like, it's a weird one. You just need players who can play in many different positions because it's so different and it's so high intensity for that amount of time. So
he kind of gives you a different aspect as well, because if he plays on the left, it's a left footer going to the byline, whipping balls in, as opposed to us having right on the left cutting in.
I also think, like you say, in a tournament, you want players who are going to guarantee you a good performance, and Saka does that. Greenwood, he's very hit and miss. He's hot and cold, isn't he?
Yeah.
Another one was, how far do you reckon England are going to go in this tournament?
I will be disappointed if we don't reach the semis, if I'm being really honest. I haven't been that impressed with Germany. I don't think Spain are as good as people think they are.
No.
I think the main threats are Belgium, Portugal and France. So I think we're the fourth best team at the tournament. So I think I expect us to get to semis. If the draw's kind to us and results are kind to us, we've got home advantage, hopefully. We don't actually know what's going on with that. I think we're playing every game at Wembley, aren't we? Or are we not?
It was originally all our group games were at Wembley, and then obviously the semis and the finals were as well. So
I mean, yeah, I expect us to get to the semis, and I think we've got half a chance of winning it. I really do.
Yeah, I think when you actually look at it, in terms of the players we have and the levels of performance they've sort of put in this season, the clubs they play for, on paper, we've got one of the best squads going into it,
100%. 100%.
100%. I mean, France just fucking chill.
France have got a ridiculous squad, isn't it?
You say that, though, but they're not blessed up front, like centrally.
Is Benzema not free from his sex tape ban?
He's still shooting rap videos. he ain't played for France forever. Really. If they had Benzema, fucking hell, that would just
not,
be...
Not Griezmann. Does Griezmann not play there and Mbappe?
Mbappe's wide, any, but...
I know, I don't know how often he plays through the middle.
Would I be that frightened of Griezmann? I don't know.
We've got every chance.
He's been pony this year, to be fair. So yeah.
We've got every chance of that. If that pig Dembele plays, Jesus
Christ. And if Lloris is in goal, Jesus, just shoot, man.
Ah, come on, man.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, man. Have you got any questions, lad? Or any ones that you saw that you want to ask?
Yeah, me and Cal will answer that last question. It's not all about Garrett. I reckon we'll get to the quarters.
Sorry.
Definitely the quarters. Cal, what about you?
I think similar. I think just because I think you'd be disappointed if it wasn't semis, but yeah. I think because it is such a young side again, I don't know, maybe it's just going to be a bit of inexperience is going to show. But yeah, I think semis has got to be the where you've got to get to. So I don't know.
I think the first game's crucial. We'll really see the level, how we get on against Croatia. I think if we can get a good result, like a 2-0 win against Croatia, I'm going to immediately think we're winning it.
Croatia are a massive bogey team, aren't they, for us?
Yeah, but we all.
They haven't got a great side anymore, though, have they? Do you know what I mean? Like,
they've still got Modric, though, man. Like,
you say that. I mean, all their best players are like 38, but they're still unbelievable. Like,
yeah, I know.
Would you be more scared of that Croatia side if they had Steven Gerrard rather than Modric?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's different. I don't know. Yeah,
how old is Steven Gerrard? What Gerrard are we saying?
The one who manages Rangers right now.
I've got a good question. It was, who is the worst England player that we believe has made the squad in each of, well, in the last four major tournaments?
I'd have to look at the squads.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head of squads.
Kevin Davies and Joe Botherud are up there just for caps.
No, just for caps. Yeah, Kevin Davies is an absolute shambles. I mean, he scored, didn't he, Matt Upson? I always used to think he was pony, but
yeah,
he actually scored for us against Germany.
He was so shit.
I think, what was it? Was it, Sven-Goran Eriksson used to love Darius Vassell, didn't he? I know it's like years ago, but he was fucking shit as well.
He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen live, you know? He was really, like, rapid.
He was a little, meme machine, he was.
A little rat. Francis Jeffers got a cap.
Yeah, he did. Nugent got a cap, but he's literally got 100% goal record.
So. One in one, bro. I seen him at Cheltenham last year.
Ricky Lambert.
I was pissed up at the bar. I was like, fucking David Nugent. He was like, all right, mate. I was like, fuck, you know, you always score against the Alb. And he was like, that ain't me. And just walked off. And I was like,
Oh, here's one. Worst England manager of your lifetime. Excluding the ones that done like one or two games.
It's got to be Sven, isn't it? I'd say.
Sven did all right. I'd go McLaren.
McLaren, not bad, is he really? But I'm just saying on Sven off how he dealt with that generation of players. It just, there was everything wrong that went wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but like, again, like, I'll hark back to 2004. I think we would have won it if Rooney didn't get injured. So he didn't do badly with that squad, I think.
I would probably say, I think Sven was bad, but he was a lot of the, that sort of golden generation, they were still quite young in 04, if you think about it. Not in terms of, they hadn't their primes yet. The likes of Lampard, Gerrard, players like that. I'd probably say, for me, Capello. Like, you hear stories and stuff. Like
the players hated him.
Yeah, the way he managed the side, it was so dry, like that team. And the ability we had in that in their primes as well, sort of going into that 06 World Cup. And obviously, we didn't even fucking qualify for 08. So, I think that
I'd have it between him and McLaren, definitely. But the fact McLaren didn't even get us qualified, Jesus.
I remember that Wally with the brolly, wasn't it?
I was at the games. Carson let one in, didn't he? But he had an unbelievable game over there, man.
Yeah.
That was fucking brutal.
Yeah, that was Croatia, wasn't it?
Yeah. The
was that Croatia, too. Was it? I remember that,
Slaven Bilic in charge. Big Slaven.
Have we got a surprise player out of, who do you reckon is going to really hit the ground running at our tournament, you know, out of the squad that we picked, who's going to come out of the tournament the other side and everyone's going to be like, fucking hell, what a player.
Grealish. I think we're going to finish the tournament and everyone's going to say, if he plays this season, I think we're going to finish this tournament and say, he's our main man, he has to play.
I will probably say, I think everyone does rate him. I would say probably Grealish as well, but I'll go for someone else. I'm going to say Rice. I've really changed my mind on him, but...
And me.
I've really changed my mind on him. I think if he plays the way he does for West Ham and is that as dynamic and influential for England as he is for West Ham, I think he'll sort of announce himself globally at the World Cup, because I think he dominates the midfield against the bigger sides. I think people like really take notice and actually start to listen to the West Ham fans once, because they are all deluded, and I've said they're deluded for a while. They are
West Ham.
It will annoy me for them to be proved right, but I do think Rice.
West Ham, you fucking got one more question, Carl. Oh, sorry.
Fucking hell, I'm not here today, or like, what's going on?
I can only see the top of your head. And he's standing up.
I'm gonna go Mason Mount. Mate, I think that I don't know if you did a video on it, Garrett. Like, it might have been you. I saw loads of people saying they don't rate him and this and that. Like, he is top level, mate.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced with him.
There's no denying it, and he can do both sides of the ball. He works as hard as anyone else, covers as many miles as anyone else, and can score goals. Has good range of passing.
Gets
the ball ticking over always. I think he has it all, mate. Has it all to go to the next level. And to be fair, he's basically like, well, he's easily Chelsea's best player this season, and he's kind of carrying them a little bit.
That's what I was literally just looking at the squad now. Like, all of our players are so like vital for their club teams. Like Mount, like you said, for example, there, he is so important for Chelsea, and like you said, he's arguably probably their best player. And just going across the board, like Rice is literally West Ham's best player, I'd probably say. I'd agree with Mount. I think he'll announce himself as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? It's going to be, I think it's probably the most exciting England team I can remember for many a year now. So, mate, I'm looking forward to it, but I just hope that Southgate doesn't bottle it, really. That's how you want to go off it.
Does it not slightly annoy you that Mount and Rice are like best friends and they might have like an unbelievable tournament? They'll just be like bumming each other the whole time. Like,
no, I hope they're rooms together and they have a great time playing COD or whatever it is they play together.
Like Take on the World, it'll be like the Mount and Rice show. They'll be on the front page of the newspaper and they'll have like a joint Instagram account and they'll start selling merch and stuff. I can just see.
It'll be like the new Ant and Dec.
No stars today, just bars in the mood.
What? What?
You're doing great.
One ten. Right, boys, that'll wrap up today's episode. Let us know in the comments who you think's got the best team, even though we're all quite similar. Who we should have added, who you would have added. Just let us know basically your thoughts. I've got a big announcement at the end for next episode. But to begin with, boys, make sure you buy a new GD. Elliot's got one of the new hoodies on, shows a lovely little pink garment. You can get 12% off using La Masala. Boys, if you're into fitness, running, seriously, cop some gear. Or even if you're just like chilling, like the jacket Cal's got on, it is proper decent gear. It's well priced as well. But a big announcement, next episode, we'll be recording next Wednesday. So it'll be released either Thursday or Friday, depending what Elle's up to. We have got the one and only Dean Windass coming on, lads. So make sure you bombard the Instagram DMs with questions for Dean. Put it on the comments underneath in the YouTube, in the comments on Instagram. Any question you want, if there's any Hull fans, you'll have loads of questions for him. Like, mate, Dean Windass is an absolute legend. We're so buzzing we've got him on. So yeah, boys, keep liking, subscribing, commenting, get us sharing everywhere as well. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We'll put it all in the bio. We'll put UGD in the bio as well with the discount code.
Fucking Wi-Fi.
And that will be that.
I'm so buzzing.
Elle's froze on the cookie's face.
Wi-Fi's looking mental.
See you later, mate.
Bye-bye. See you later, Elle.